When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good. All righty. Every week we have a chat to Miles Bergman, thanks to our good friends at McGain Real Estate. That's why everywhere you go, there's a sign popping up saying what?
Sold by McGain. Again.
All right. Port Adelaide led by 31 points at the 24-minute mark.
What a start.
It was a brilliant start.
What happened after that, Kim?
They lost by 42. No. That's a 73-point turnaround. Let's play some nice music. No, it's jammed. Oh, there it is.
Miles, ice.
Bergman's gone for home and lost at home.
Miles, ice.
Bergman goes for home.
Bang.
With a magnificent kick. That's broken the ground.
Bang, bang, bang. There wasn't a lot of banging going on in the last half, I tell you what, against Collingwood. G'day, Miles.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
No pleasure. It's never as much fun after a loss.
No,
here come all the hard questions.
We understand momentum swings, yeah. Miles, but it never swung back. How is it that you let yourselves be overrun that way, particularly after such a great start?
Yeah, that's a good question. We had a good rundown yesterday at the club and sort of just talked about that sort of side of it, the momentum swings, and it's the way the game's played these days, that's like a massive part of it, and just being able to control it. So I think we sort of lost our way and lost the momentum and then didn't really do anything about it. We kept playing the same and didn't acknowledge that they were on top of us, and we really needed to just try and lock it down and sort of slow play down a little bit, which we didn't do.
So the review was yesterday. Yeah, and so you identified what you didn't do. What are you meant to do if that happens again? You said
just
lock it down, or
yeah.
Can you be more specific?
Try and slow the game down a little bit. Like a lot of teams are trying to play fast now, and we want to play fast as well. So we'll keep doing that until we recognise that a team is on top of us. Then I think we've just got to try and cause a few more stoppages, make it a little bit tough to run through, and slow the game down and cause those stoppages to just reset and get the game back onto neutral terms and then hopefully build back into our momentum.
All right, we're not trying to make you sweat or make you feel uncomfortable. There's a lot of Port supporters have been sending texts in the last few days because you lose once again to a top side. You would be aware of this before going into the game though, because you've had a few years as a group to understand what happens when momentum appears in a game. So who's not getting that message across? Has that come from upstairs, or are the leaders on the ground should be taking more direction and giving more orders and being more aware of it?
I think just us as a whole need to take better ownership and get on top of it earlier, and then just really own the contest a bit more and just be a bit stronger over the ball and not cough it up as much when things aren't going our way.
I think that's hard to understand on this one, Miles, is we're not talking about the 24th minute mark of the third quarter and get overrun in the last. This is from time on of the first. And from that point onwards, Collingwood's got command of the game. So Kim's question's a very good one here. When did the penny drop and who wasn't dropping it?
I think we just weren't strong enough over the ball in the contest, and they just outworked us following on from, early in the first. They just got to more contests and outnumbered us there and then could just chain through us. So we just needed to try and get a few more numbers over the contest and really just outnumber, which we weren't able to do, and they were better than us in that area on the day.
I reckon the last couple of years, stating the obvious, but Collingwood have transformed the game. Mm. Is it too simple to say, I sit back and I love watching them play because it doesn't matter if they're 40 points down, 20 points up, they seem like they play the same way. It is just relentless attack, attack, attack. They never run out of bullets. They're like a machine gun. They just keep, they're not reloading, they're just firing, 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 and they overwhelm teams. Is that a fair analysis? Because I don't necessarily think they have the best list.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, their structure and their method works and they stick to it. And that's why they're one of the top teams in the comp still today, and they really showed that on the weekend.
Miles, did the review go over what happened in the back half of the field, particularly where Collingwood was able to get so many players into dangerous space?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. We talked about, like I said, that outnumber at contests, and the stats show that, like, ground ball, loose ball gets, we're getting killed in. So it's just about how we structure the ground and shape the ground to better get numbers to contest and not allow other teams to get as many numbers to contest.
Yeah. Hey, it's not the end of the world. The club's sitting beautifully at 4-2. Supporter base gets frustrated because there's been a pattern in terms of these big games. As an outsider, I'm not concerned. You know, you learn from your learnings, you learn from your mistakes. And there's a lot of the season to go. You've got St Kilda this week, who've got some problems of their own. Do you think, or is it awkward for you to suggest one way or the other, that you'll go with the two ruck set up again? What's the commentary been around that in the review?
We haven't really talked about it too much yet. We sort of just wanted to focus on what we wanted to improve on from the game on the weekend, but we haven't moved on to next week until tomorrow. So we'll get on to that, and so the selection panel will choose what they think's best.
So, Miles, what was your read of the two rucks? What did you think you gained or didn't gain from it?
Well, missing Charlie and all that as well, we did need another big body, so another option down forward, and gives the rucks a bit more of a rest and can run a bit harder when they are in there. But at the end of the day, it's not up to me, and we'll see what they choose to go with this week.
All right, on with the positives. On with the positives, Miles. There's a great celebration coming up this week, or there should be, and that's Zach Butters playing his 100th game. What's he like around the club? We had him on for a couple of years. What was that, 2 years ago? When he was just a young fella, he was cheeky, trying to be well-behaved when he was on the show, but you could tell he's a cheeky bugger. What's he like down at the club, and what's he done for the footy club so far?
Yeah, you described him perfectly, cheeky bugger. He loves to muck around, but when it comes to business, he's very professional, and he leads the team really well. So it's great to have him as a part of the group. Really gets everyone going, and he's so fun to be around. So we're really excited and can't wait to get out there with him this week.
So tell us what he is like as a leader, because he's now a vice-captain, which is an important role now in that whole structure with Connor Rosie. What's he like as a leader?
He definitely leads with his actions. He works really hard at training, does all the right things off the field and on the field. He'll give his all and really have a red-hot crack. And then his communications become a lot better, especially this year now as well. He's really growing into that leadership role and communicating with all the young boys and all the players on the field with structure or supporting them with new roles. And, yeah, he's been great.
Talking of training, is Charlie Dixon training like he'll be playing this week, or do you think he may sit out another week?
Yeah, Charlie was back training yesterday, and he was moving pretty well. So we'll see how he feels tomorrow and how he trains, and hopefully we can get him on the park. We'll see.
The AFL does a lot for a lot of different causes, but it's done a wonderful job over the last 30 or 40 years, putting the spotlight on those that fought for our great country and give us the life that we had.
And those who continue to serve as well.
Yeah, serve as well. Spot on, Rooch. What's it mean to you to play on Anzac Day? And has that been addressed yet this week or the Anzac weekend?
Yeah, it's definitely really special. We'll be wearing the normal Port Guernsey with the Anzac Appeal logo on it. Along with, we're selling some Anzac Day hats that will be going towards the funding for the defence force, I'm pretty sure, because it does mean a lot for our club as well. We have a close affiliation with the defence force. So, yeah, to play in a game like this means a lot. And I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a big night on Friday night. We spoke to the tournament director of LIV Golf, and he said that Bubba, I don't know if you're into your golf, Bubba Watson's going to be teeing off at the Adelaide Oval doing a driving exhibition just before the game.
Yeah, we did get told that the other day, that he was going to be around abouts and maybe in our room. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of excited boys, I think, for that.
I think Ryan Byrne will be excited. He plays off one, doesn't he? Yeah. What do you like hitting the white ball?
A bit inconsistent. Don't play enough, I'd be off at 16, I think. But yeah, Birdo's definitely the man of the club that you need to look up to get towards.
All right. Well, a bit of a hiccup last week, St Kilda this week. We wish all the best, Bergie. I'm sure you'll get back into the winners list, and we'll chat to you again next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
There he is.
Good luck, Miles.
Good on you, Miles.
Well, we had to ask the tough questions.
Oh, well, you do. That's all the text that we get. Try and do
just
it.
Just struggle with how there wasn't a reaction for a long time.
It's not like momentum, something new.
No.
But we know it still happens.
But if you talk about swings, where was the moment where it swung back for Port? We didn't see it, did we?
No, it didn't. No, I think there'd be more good than comes out of bad, and I'm not trying to put a positive spin on it. I just firmly believe that.